The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
You know, when I was a young adult, I went on a mission trip. I went to Zimbabwe, Zambia, South Africa, and Mozambique. Now, while in Mozambique, the team that I was with were tasked with delivering a maize mill or a corn mill to a village in the middle of the Mozambique jungle. We were in the truck and we were driving towards this village and we came to a dry riverbed. As we drove into the riverbed, we had the stark realization that it wasn't as dry as we thought. And all of us sitting in the truck felt us sink into the riverbed and get bogged. And we were well and truly stuck. We worked for a few hours trying everything that we knew to get this truck out of the riverbank, out of the riverbed, and it just wasn't going to move. We were there. So three of us were sent off on a mission. Continue from here, walk ahead and go to the village, gather up help and bring them to come and rescue us. Okay, so we set off. Now this walk was to take no more than an hour. 3 hours later, we came to the realization that we were lost in a Mozambique jungle. We came out into a little clearing. And the gentleman who was leading us turned and said, "I think it's time we prayed." And so I prayed, we all prayed together, and I prayed a deeply spiritual, very profound prayer. "God, I don't want to die in a Mozambique jungle, please help." It wasn't a profound prayer at all, really. But when we finished praying, we opened our eyes and there was a man in the clearing with us. He didn't speak English and we didn't speak whatever it was he was speaking. He had a basket on his head and he beckoned to us to sit down on a log and he put the basket down and he picked up some fruit. Now I to this day don't know what this fruit is, but I really liked it. He broke it open and gave us a piece of fruit and you could drink the liquid out of it, almost like a coconut, drink the liquid out of it, and it was so, so refreshing. Because unlike my husband, who whenever we go on a hike or he goes on a hike anywhere, he takes his prepared for emergency backpack. The three of us didn't even take a bottle of water. Nothing. We were on our own. So I had this beautiful drink and then he beckoned us to follow him. So, of course, that's what you do. Follow a total stranger in the jungles of Mozambique. So I'm eating this fruit as we're walking through the jungles. And after about 15 minutes, could hear the noise of what I assumed was the village. As we broke into the clearing of the village, the man vanished. Gone. And I am pretty sure that I was rescued from the Mozambique jungle by an angel, which is an incredible experience. But 3 weeks later, I had another one that has impacted me just as much. I went back to South Africa and I was sitting at the table with my grandmother, my dad's mum. And Granny said to me, "Tell me what happened." And she pulled out her prayer journal. She opened it up and she said, "Tell me, Sarah, what happened on this day at this time?" And I pulled out my journal and we opened it up. And that was the exact time I was in the jungle and we were lost. We were praying. To the minute, she asked me. And then she read out her prayer. She said, I was just here, I was sitting, and Holy Spirit told me to pray for you. And she read and she said, "Father God, I pray for my granddaughter Sarah. And I ask for guidance and for provision and for protection." And I didn't tell the group this morning, but she also put on the end of it, "and that you would help her get out of the mess that she got herself into." Only family prays that way, just so you know. But it was right at the time that I was in a mess. My granny couldn't have figured out what was happening with me. Unlike today, we don't have Life 360 on our phones, or, you know, you can't track someone. She couldn't have looked and gone, well, I don't think she's supposed to be there. I think we need to pray for her. There was none of that. She just heard Holy Spirit, and I needed to be prayed for right then. And that is prophetic prayer. Hearing Holy Spirit and praying over a person, a situation, a circumstance, a group, that is prophetic prayer. In Mark chapter 10, we hear the story of Bartimaeus. He's a blind man who's on the side of the street as Jesus walks past, and he calls out, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy. And Jesus says to him, what do you want? He says, I want my sight. I want to be able to see. And Jesus looks at him and says, go, your faith has made you well. And he can see, and he leaves. In Matthew chapter 9, we hear about two blind men. And Jesus touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And they're healed, and they go. Then in Mark chapter 8, we hear about the blind man at Bethsaida. Jesus took him outside of the village. He spits in the man's eyes, puts his hands on him, and prays for him. And the man says, I can see as though trees are walking. So then he puts his hands on his eyes, prays for him again, and the man gets healed and he can see everything clearly. In John chapter 9, we hear about a man born blind. Jesus spits on the ground, makes mud, puts that mud in the man's eyes, and then tells him to head off and wash in the pool of Siloam, where he is healed. Why? Why does Jesus do the same miracle in so many different ways? They're all men, they're all blind, and they were all healed. Why? Why did Jesus do that? John chapter 5, verse 19, he says, he's talking to the Pharisees, to some religious leaders, and he says, I assure you that the Son can't do anything by himself except what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. So Jesus healed all those blind people in all different ways because that's what the Father did. That's what the Father told him to do. That's what he was being obedient. Well, that's great, but what does that mean to us? Why does that affect us? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, you have been called for this purpose, since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in his footsteps. So as a child of God, I am to follow in Jesus' footsteps as Jesus is following the Father. I am to act in obedience. And this requires me being able to pray and communicate and hear God. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about prayer. The first week, we had an introduction to prayer. And my favourite part of that morning was hearing about the prayers that you pray as you enter into God's family. The following week, we talked about praying with and for our families. And then we went on a journey through the book of Psalms and we explored prayer in the Psalms and how to use the Psalms to pray. And last week, we ventured into the Lord's Prayer and the prayer that Jesus taught us, his disciples, to pray. Well, this week, I'm teaching on prophetic prayer. But if I had to define prayer in one phrase, it would be this: communicating with God. That's what prayer is. It's communicating with God. Now, the difference with prophetic prayer and just regular prayer is that we are required to have two-way communication. Now, if I walked into my husband every morning and I said to him, Morning, babe. This morning I'm working at the Cecil Plains Library, and Caitlin is doing this, and I need you to pick up the groceries at this place, and I'll see you tonight for dinner, and we're having this for dinner, and da-da-da-da-da. Really, it's listed off all the different things and told him what I needed him to do, then promptly turned and walked out. How well do you think our marriage would be? How healthy would it be? And how long would it last? It's not going to be a healthy marriage. Just like my husband and I need to have two-way communication, the same is true of the Father and us. We need to learn how to have two-way communication, how to hear the Father. How do we hear from God? Because prophetic prayer requires us to hear from God. We need to pause and listen. Be open. And we need to have peace and feel the peace. Because when God speaks, it's a very peaceful experience. This morning, after this morning's service, a person came up to me and said, "How do I know if it's God I'm hearing?" Generally, there are three voices that we encounter when we pray. God's voice, the devil's voice, and our own. And in my experience, and Pastor Andrew can correct me if he likes, but in my experience, I have found that as I pray and then pause to listen, the first voice I hear is God, because he is keen to speak to me. He wants me to hear from him. The second voice is myself as I go, "Was that God? I'm not sure it was God." And then the third voice is the enemy going, "No, that was not God. Nope." Listen to the first voice and say, does it clash with the scripture? Is there a peace that I feel with that voice? And then be obedient. Step out in faith. Last week after the service, I had a chat with a group of people and I asked them, how do you hear from God? Because people hear from God in all different ways. And Ben Southers, thank you Ben, made a video for me and I asked all these people this question. How do you hear from God?
How do I hear from God? It's usually through the Word of God, just reading the Bible. But sometimes it's through a song. Sometimes it's a word from somebody else.
I predominantly see images in my spiritual mind, and I also tend to get gut feelings.
Many different ways. A lot of the time it's generally like a gut feeling about certain things. The way I get that gut feeling can happen from many different things, whether it's through prayer, through worship, or even having someone else pray over me. A lot of the time I might even be praying for someone and just suddenly start speaking something over them, which I had no clue about beforehand.
One of my favourite ways is through music, and that's one way you get the Bible in song, the words of the scriptures, and they play in my head. I go back and I play it again and again. I start to grasp what God is telling me.
Listening to a song or reading the Bible or sometimes even talking to people, like a sentence jumps out, like it's obvious that God wants me to do something with this.
I feel like God speaks to me as I read the word. So whether there's a verse or a word that sticks out, and then I like to sit and ponder on that, and then that can just lead to a whole lot of trails where God speaks to me.
Yeah, but and then I know that those thoughts are not from myself, from within myself, because I would not normally have thought that. But it comes, and it comes in quite a strong way, and I recognize it is his voice, and I try to act it out. In faith?
It's depending on where I'm at. So sometimes God's going to get my attention with an image or a feeling, a gut feeling, knowing something, hearing something in a song and just knowing. Sometimes it's a quiet, hey, you know that person? Just quickly pray for them. What do you want to pray? Oh, just this one little simple thing. So God knows me. He knit me in the womb, so he knows how to talk to me in that moment, at that time, for whatever.
I love what Penny says there. God knows me. He knows how to speak to me. You know, I've heard people, and they some people see visions, and they have dreams. Some people just, they hear with their spiritual ears. It's just like they hear God speaking to them. There are so many different ways that God wants to communicate with you. We need to pause, take time, and hear from him. My favorite verse in the Bible is Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer and reveal to you wondrous secrets that you haven't known. And that's how I approach prophetic prayer. Holy Spirit, who do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to say? And is there anything you need me to do? And he shows me. He talks to me. And he wants to talk to you too. John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And that's a key component in prophetic prayer. We hear and we follow. We do. We need to follow God's direction when he gives it to us. All right, so what is the prophetic? Joel chapter 2 talks about God pouring out his spirit on all flesh. And that's today, Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate today when God poured out his spirit on all flesh. And now it says that our sons and daughters will prophesy. That little girl in the video hearing from God, that's my daughter. She can hear from God, which means that she can pray prophetically. She's small, but she hears God. Every one of you can hear from God, and he wants you to hear from him. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about the gift of prophecy that we must earnestly desire. In Thessalonians, it talks to us about prophesying, but not doing it with contempt. Testing the spirit. Doing it well. If I had to define the prophetic with one phrase, it would be bringing heaven to earth. So prophetic prayer is bringing heaven to earth through communicating with God. All right, prophetic prayer is not, this is important, it is not giving dates or promising time-based events. We've all seen it. We've all seen the person on TV who says, oh, and such will happen. Or my favorite was in the 2020 elections in America, Trump will return to power in this election. Nope. Didn't happen. 2020. Mm-mm. Or announcing birth, deaths, and marriages. That is not our job in prophetic prayer. That's not what we're doing. We're not publicly announcing sin in prophetic prayer. That is not what prophetic prayer is for. We're not foretelling. In the future, I see a flying car. That's not what it's about. All right? We're not foretelling. Prophetic prayer is bringing encouragement and comfort. It is bringing heaven to earth. Whatever the person, the situation, the circumstance, whatever is needed, prophetic prayer can bring heaven into that situation. A few weeks ago, as I was preparing for this, I was actually standing in the foyer and I said, Holy Spirit, I would really love it if someone had a testimony about prophetic prayer so that it could just paint the picture a little clearer. An example of what happened afterwards, how it affected them. And I'm not kidding, 2 minutes later, Juliet came up to me and shared this story with me. So please watch the video.
A few weeks ago at night church, people were invited to go out if they had big things in their lives that they wanted prayer for. And so I went out the front, and then Sarah, who is speaking to us this morning, came over to pray for me. And as she was praying for me, she said the word mountain, or she saw a picture of a mountain. The word mountain came up and she said, like, you have a mountain in front of you. And I confirmed, yes, I did have a mountain in front of me. The very next morning, in my own personal Bible reading time, I just happened to be up to Zechariah chapter 4, and verses 6 and 7 say, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. It was like, wow, there's that word, mountain, again. And from that moment, it was like a confirmation. I knew that the circumstances, the big mountain that was in front of me was going to come tumbling down, and that it wasn't something that I had to make happen, but it was the Spirit of God that was going to do it. And so that then informed my prayers. I was able to confidently thank God day after day that the mountain was coming down, the mountain was coming down, and it was by the Holy Spirit that this was going to happen. And that is truly what happened. A few weeks later, the circumstances that were such a big mountain to me did in fact totally reverse, and it became a plain. So that prophetic word came to pass.
I didn't do anything special. I didn't make the mountain go away. I didn't even pray over the mountain. I asked Holy Spirit, who would you like me to pray for? Juliet stood out to me. What do you want me to say? And it wasn't a big thing. I see a mountain in front of you. It wasn't a big, and is there anything you want me to do? I gave her a hug. It. Holy Spirit needs us to just step out and act in obedience, hear him, do what he asks. All right, I can see a few of you taking notes. I'm going to leave this screen up for a while, and I will be telling a story. So don't worry, you're not going to lose this page. Prophetic prayer is receiving divine insight or messages that the person praying wouldn't know through natural means. That's my granny. That's my grandmother. She could not have known what was happening with me, but Holy Spirit guided her to pray for me. Bringing clarity, direction, and encouragement through supernatural revelation. That's what happened to Juliet. She was encouraged. She knew that Holy Spirit had her, that she wasn't fighting this. She wasn't trying to conquer this mountain on her own. Functioning as a divine communication channel rather than merely presenting requests to God. That is what we get to do this week. So as you know, we have been called as a whole body, a whole church, for prayer and fasting. And we are praying about the second stage of the building. And we don't want to do what we did last time because God is fresh. God is new. And God does things different. Look at how he healed the four blind people. So if we attack the second stage the way we did the first, we could be heading down the wrong path. So this week, as a whole family, we are praying and we are fasting. And I'd love to encourage you, when you sit down to pray, say, Holy Spirit, who or what would you like me to pray for? How would you like me to pray? And is there anything that you need me to do? So I've decided that I'm going to fast washing the dishes in the evening. Yeah, yeah. Are you good with that, Jazz? Yeah, yeah. So instead of washing dishes, I'm going to go pray. Who or what would you like me to pray for? What do I need to say? What would you like me to say? And is there anything you want me to do? And the last one, speaking God's heart, will or purposes for individuals, communities or situations. As you know, Glenn and I were missionaries in the Philippines. One of the tasks we did while we were there was lecturing in a Bible college. We took our students on a mission trip to a city 2 hours south. It's called the city of Digos. We were there with the students and the other lecturers, and we were there for 3 days. At the end of the 3 days, we were finishing with a big crusade. It was open to anybody in the city to come and be part of it, and there was a very big turnout. Pastor Amy spoke to us all before, and she said, step out in faith. Ask Holy Spirit, who do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to say? And what do you want me to do? There you go. Now you know it's not my original idea. Pastor Amy gave it to me, and we did. As the sermon was finished, I stepped out in front of the stage, and I looked, and I said, Holy Spirit, who do you want me to pray for? And a lady stood out. It was almost like God was shining a light on her. She just kind of, ooh, oh, wow, cool. Okay, it's you. I said, what do you want me to say? And I got a very distinct phrase in my mind. Do you want me to do anything special? What do you want me to do? And I got a picture. Okay. So I stepped forward and I prayed for this lady. And I just said to her, the school that you have received a vision from God for, that you have desired to start, the time is now for you to launch it. Go ahead. And then I gave her a hug. I do lots of hugs. I gave her a hug and I walked away. I did what I believed Holy Spirit told me to do. Now, it was about 3 years later, Glenn and I went back down to Digos City and we were meeting with the mayor and the bishop of the area and a number of other very important people. And this lady who I had prayed for that night appeared at the door and I recognized her instantly. I knew who she was. And as I spoke with her, she said, when you're finished here, I want you to come with me. After we finished, we went with her and she took us on a tour of the school. The school that she had desperately wanted to start, but she wanted to know that God's hand of blessing was on that school. She wanted to launch it. She knew that the city needed it, but she just needed the confirmation and encouragement. And that is what Holy Spirit gave her. And I got to teach a geography lesson on Australia while I was there. That was very exciting. So, prophetic prayer, bringing heaven to earth through communicating with God and following his lead. Who do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to say? And is there anything you need me to do? That's what prophetic prayer is. Would you take some time and ask, what did God say to you today? And what am I going to do with what I've heard? Bringing heaven to earth through communicating with God and following his lead. That's what we get to do this week as we pray and fast together about the next stage of this building. This morning we're having prayer. On this side you'll have children come and join us. If you have any physical sickness, injury, ailments, come and have them pray for you. They have incredible faith. On this side, there'll be general prayer for anybody who would like prayer. I will join the people here. I'd love to pray for anybody if you would like prayer. And then love to come and join everybody out for morning tea afterwards, where there's tea, coffee and cordial. And if you have any questions or if you have any desires to share with each other, but feel free to come and tell me your stories about prophetic prayer. One more thing. If you're hosting the young adults for lunch today, or young adults, if you're going to someone's house together, share how you hear from God and pray together. Holy Spirit, who do you want us to pray for? What do you want us to say? And is there anything you would like this group of people to do? Father, I thank you and I bless this congregation. I thank you that we have the opportunity to embark on this new season and this new build together. And I thank you, Father, that as we set out this week to hear you as we pray, that you will guide our steps, you will guide our leaders. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.